Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
Why Memorial Day? And does it matter? And what is it about? And should we participate? And why should we? And so the why of Memorial Day, of course, goes back to the 1800s. And as already mentioned, and Bob did a great introduction this morning, it is to remember those who gave their lives so that we could have the freedom that we have as a nation. But it's not only to remember, it's also to give honor to those who served as well as those who gave their life, and to the families that were impacted and are still impacted today by this kind of a commitment, or as we would say, the ultimate commitment of our lives. So we remember, we choose to honor those who serve, those who have served, and those who have given their life for the protection that we have. We're blessed in America, and I trust that you pray a blessing over our land. I do this regularly. Pray for God to bless our city, to bless those that are in leadership. In the Word of God, we're not going to turn there this morning, but Jeremiah 29, Israel, at that time they were in Babylon, and there's an instruction there to Israel as a nation, and the instruction sort of like this: when even though you're in a foreign country and you're in a place with a lot of heathens, you need to continue to get married. You need to continue to plant your gardens. You need to continue to build. You need to continue to support the nation you're in. And you need to pray for your nation, because if your nation is blessed and you have peace in your nation, even if there's ungodly people there, if there's peace and there's favor in the nation where you live, then you too will be blessed. And we understand this. And we can tell the difference when our land is moving away from God. And let me just say that I believe that we're in a dangerous place when we start trying to force Israel to move this way and that way and create another homeland and split their properties up and try to force Israel into some American politician plan. That is dangerous. We need to pray against that, because this puts our nation in a place of jeopardy. But God has blessed us, and we have been blessed, even though we have a lot of problems in our land. And so part of the challenge is that when we have leaders that may not be righteous, and we have leaders that are not righteous, I'll just say that. And I don't know their heart. I don't see their heart. Only God sees their hearts. I don't know how much they know. I don't know what level of accountability they have. You may say, well, why would you say that? I say that because the Word of God says, to whom much is given, much is required. So I've been given a lot of the Word of God since before I was born. The Word of God was being read while I was in my mother's womb as an infant in the process of God designing my frame. I was hearing the Word. I grew up with a lot of the Word. So I'm very accountable on many levels. But some people don't have that level of exposure to truth. And so I understand that. But yet at the same time, we have many leaders in our nation that seem to be at war with God. Not with war with the enemy, not with war with evil, not with war with the darkness, but they seem to be at war with God purposefully and strategizing and seeking to destroy the biblical foundation that our country was built on. And so I do believe it's appropriate for us to look at some government leaders and say their time needs to be up. They need to be fired. We need to get rid of them. And whether they're in the local office here or they're in the White House, we need to be able to say, listen, if you're supporting the death of babies, I don't care what you call it, that is murder, and that is against the Word of God. Because the commandment does not mean that you should not kill. It means you should not murder. Thou shalt not murder. And so some have misunderstood that, you know, and at war, Israel was sent and they were to destroy the enemy, and God directed them to do that. But when we think about the war that's been against the infants, the lives, 60-some million babies have died, we need to look at that and say, if someone is supporting of that agenda, there's no way I'm going to support them. Because the Word of God says one thing about life, it says choose life. Choose life. And that's always been the recommendation of the Word of God. Choose life. And God said, you know, I put before you two things. You can choose the blessing. You can choose the curse. You can choose life. You can choose death. And then God says to Israel, I would that you would choose life. And so we're in a nation where the darkness, and I believe Jonathan Cahn has this very right. He says the darkness will never be content to simply be gray. It will seek to devour everything in its path until it is fully dark. So the light must, when the darkness is gobbling up and pushing against the light, then the light must separate itself from the gray and take a stand. And so we do have a day where we need to take a stand. And I believe it's very important for us to do that. David, King David, gives us some understanding that I believe we need to look at on this Memorial Day weekend about leadership. And this is an important truth, and maybe some of you and your families are going to have to think about this in relationships just as I did. I remember the time when Dad had left home. Dad had an affair. My father had an affair with a lady that was about the age of my oldest sister. And this was a horrific thing in our family. And sin on any level destroys. It destroys a lot of things. But I'll tell you, Christmas was never the same at the McLean house after Dad had that affair and moved out. It was never the same. Birthdays were never the same. So many things changed in our life and in our family at that time. And I remember struggling with this and not wanting to believe it and not wanting to believe that Dad could even do that. And I remember having this prayer. Maybe you've never prayed this kind of a prayer, but it had to do with honoring my parents. And so the Word of God says that, you know, if a child honors his mother and father, his days will be long. It's a promise. It's actually given as a promise. And it's not only given as a promise on the positive side, it is exposing the danger of not following the Word of God. And so on the one hand, it says you'll be blessed with a long life if you honor your mother and your father. The opposite of that is if you don't honor them, if you dishonor them, you're exposing yourself to a reduced life. And this is the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us this. And I remember struggling with that and actually praying this kind of a prayer. God, how do I honor my father as my father when he's not honorable? How do I do that? How am I supposed to relate to him? And that was a struggle. And God gave me direction. And I remember the night that I drove to West Palm because I didn't believe it. Even after everything I heard, I saw the letters, I knew everything, I didn't believe it. And I drove to West Palm and I parked outside of across the street so I could watch. They came in the house, my father and this lady, and I was there when the lights went out. I stayed, I was back, I was there in the morning before the lights came on. I was there when Dad came out of the house because I love my dad and I could not believe my dad would do this. And I was struggling with how do I honor him? And so God had dealt with my heart. that he is my father regardless of what he's done. And that as my father, I needed to honor him. And what I needed to do in honoring him was to love him enough to confront him and to forgive him and to tell him this. That morning when he came out of the house, I was there. And he was getting ready to go to work, and I approached him, and I told him just what I told you. I couldn't believe this would happen. I did not believe that you would leave Mom, that you would split the family. You know, all the things of hurt. But then I said what God had put in my heart to say, and I said, Dad, I want you to be forgiven, and I want you to go to heaven, and I want you to be a part of my forever eternal life. And I want you to know, as difficult as this is, that I know that God will forgive you, and I want you to know that I too have already forgiven you. And I want to be in relationship with you, even though this is painful. Well, some of you may have some situations in your family that you're struggling with because you don't know how to relate to them. Maybe it's a son, a daughter, brother, sister, mom, dad. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe a husband or a wife. Maybe they're past memories. Maybe you've moved way beyond it. But there are these things that happen in our families. And then there are the things that happen in our government. And so we have things happening in our government that you may not feel this way, but I'll just tell you, I don't trust a lot of what I see in government. I mean, I just don't trust the government. I don't trust the judicial system, really. I just see so many things that I don't trust. We've been lied to. You know that, right? We've been lied to by our government. We've been lied to by our politicians. We've been lied to even by preachers in the pulpit. We've been lied to by teachers in the classroom. We've been lied to from so many people, and even from the medical profession. I went in to have my stitches taken out of my hand, went to a doctor I didn't know, and he said, "Who did the surgery?" And I said, "Well, it was done," and told him where it was done. And he said, well, where is that?" I said, "In Jacksonville." He said, "Well, why would you go to Jacksonville for a surgery like that?" I said, "Because I knew people there, and I trusted the people that I knew there, and I trusted their recommendation." And so both my cardiologist and the hand doctor, that surgeon that I went to yesterday, they both said the same thing. "Huh, I really don't understand why you would go out of town." You know why I went out of town? Because Ben and Mary Ellen, who are a part of our leadership in this church, she works at Mayo Clinic as a surgical assistant, and she personally knows the doctors, and so I trusted who she recommended me to. And I told my cardiologist when he said, "I don't understand why you go out of town," I said, "I went out of town because I could trust someone that gave me a reference." I said, "Incidentally, doctor, I'm here seeing you today because somebody referred you, or I wouldn't be here either." What am I saying? What I'm saying is we've been lied to by the medical professions and some of the highest levels of medical authority in our nation. We've been lied to. And these lies, we've been lied to about some of the shots. We've been lied to about some of the diseases. We've been lied to on all kinds of levels. And so what are we to do as godly people? You see, if I remember when I was praying and saying, "God, what do you want me to do with my life?" And I really had a desire to go into the military. And this was really, I kind of got into the end of the Vietnam War, and so I was not going to be called. And so I applied, went through all the applications to get into the Marine Corps. And what I wanted to do, I really felt God was calling me to, was to be a chaplain in the Marine Corps. That's what I really desired to do. And my father encouraged me in those days because Dad said, "If we are going to enjoy the freedom of our nation, then anything that is worth enjoying the freedom of, we ought to be willing to fight for and to stand up for and to be a part of the process." And I didn't have an interest in going out and killing anybody, but I had an interest in being a part of the ministry to those who would serve and do what needed to be done. And so that didn't happen. It didn't happen. I didn't end up there because I ended up having an offer to travel for the college, and I did that for a number of years. But I have tremendous respect for those of you who have served. And for those of you who have served, maybe even when you didn't know what you were serving for. I think many who came back from some of our battles, maybe Vietnam was a part of that, came back and did not have a big reception. And some have gone away to war and came back and some gave their lives. And the question was, what were we fighting for? And in fact, right now, you know, I mean, if I was in Israel, I'd understand what the fight's about. But some of the things that go on, I don't understand what they're all about. And I'm sure there are some that are in the military today that would say, I'm not sure if I can trust those who are leading us. I'm not sure that we have the same foundation anymore. And maybe as Christians, there may be some that will listen to this and say, I don't want my kids going into the military because I don't support the direction of my nation. But let me just say that there is a responsibility that we have to those who have given us the level of freedom that we have. And there is a responsibility to build on that foundation that was righteous and that did give us this level of spiritual freedom so we don't lose what we have left in the time that we have left. And it's sort of like I'll have a family say to me, well, we don't think we want to have children because we don't want to raise kids in this kind of a world. But let me tell you, the church has always raised children in every kind of generation. And that's why there are Christians still to preach the Word of God today. Because regardless of what's going on in the devil's kingdom, God is at work in our lives to multiply and advance His kingdom. And I already know who wins. You know who wins. We win. The church wins. And so this is not a time, I don't believe this is a time for the church to say, I don't want my children involved. I don't want to raise any kids that will go into the military. I believe it's a time to listen to what a General Boykin said to my son when my son was talking about, you know, the call of God and service and ministry. And General Boykin said to him, we need godly generals in the armed forces as well. We not only need them in the pulpit, we need them on the battlefield. We need them standing up in those dark places and leading others so that there's godly leadership. He would talk about meeting with all of his men and praying before they would go into battle situations and that they would trust God and seek God and they had miraculous protection and provision. And so I thank God for all that. But David gave us a perspective that's really important. And I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Now I'm going to be thinking about the temperature in the room this morning. I'll tell you why. Because my son said instead of holding up a clock, he's going to hold up a temperature gauge. He's going to tell me what the temperature is. And when it gets too hot, we'll just go home. I said, okay. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And actually, if we had the time to look at chapter 24 and 26, we would see two occasions where David, who is in a position where he had served under Saul, and Saul had become so far away from God, he had moved so far away from God as the king of Israel, that he was attempting to kill his strongest ally, which was David. And as a young man, David was gifted. You know, he went to the battlefield, he took out Goliath, but David was gifted with administration, and he was able to lead, and he was a warrior, he was strong, and he was respected. And so his men that followed him, they were blessed of God, and they had great military victories. But if you remember, the song of the people that really irritated King Saul was, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And Saul became full of pride, and Saul began to forget his humble beginnings, and Saul began to develop this insecurity inside, and then this anger toward David until he would begin to pursue him and endeavor to take his life. And at least on 8 different occasions we know of, there may have been dozens of occasions where he premeditated and planned to take David's life. But we know on at least 8 occasions. He's planning strategically, and we have the record of it, where he's seeking to have David killed, who again had been his closest ally. And then on two occasions, we would see in 24 and 26 that David had an opportunity where he could have taken Saul out, but he didn't. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The grace of God does not take out every individual on the day when they are so disgraceful that we can't stand them. There's things that happen. Maybe all of you are so perfect that you don't have any things that you're just going to say, thank God for the blood of Jesus that triumphed my greatest day of sin. But I want to tell you this morning that the grace of God not only covered a David, but the grace of God covers us this morning as well. And where some would look at us and have discounted our lives and said, well, they don't deserve this or that or to ever be a part of God's kingdom, I want you to know that the mercy of God keeps the door open long beyond the time that we would think it should be open. And so I'll just pause for one moment and say, if you are watching today or you will listen to this on radio, and maybe sin has reigned in your life and you're wondering how long you can get by with it, let me tell you, the mercy of God has guarded you, protected you, and kept you alive so you can come to faith in Jesus Christ and be set free from that sin. And this is an awesome reality of the Word of God. And David, I believe, would teach us this lesson that even in a government where we have great wickedness, I'll just say, to me, it's great wickedness. When I saw the rainbow on the White House, that's great wickedness. It's great wickedness. And I'm sure that many of you were burdened in your heart. I'm burdened this morning when I think about what our nation has drop to the low level that our leadership, many have fallen to. But I want to remind you that God still has left that position open and allowed some to be in these places. So when we look in 1 Samuel 24 and we drop down to maybe verse 5 and 6, but then David's conscience began bothering him. This is one of those times when he could have taken Saul's life. His conscience began to bother him because he had cut Saul's robe. He was close enough to him that he could have taken his life. The Lord knows I shouldn't have done it, he said to his men. What is he saying? I should not have even cut a corner off of his garment. Wait a minute, I thought you were saying that Saul had turned from God, he was a long ways from God, that he was no longer righteous as a leader in the nation. Yes, Saul had dropped to that level. And David is the righteous one. David is the one that's anointed to be king. But David says something here that he should not. He said, the Lord knows I shouldn't have even taken my knife and trimmed his garment. Not because Saul is such a perfect person, but because God had put him in a place that should be respected. And David looked at that, you could call it an office, you could call it a place of ministry. I actually thought of this and referred to it as a ministry placement. Say, well, I thought he was king. He was king, but God put him there. You know, the Word of God says in Romans that God is the one that lifts up, God is the one that brings down, that God is the one that actually, and you'd say, God, why would you do that? Why would you allow someone like, and you fill in the blank, you may not like who I'd fill in the blank, but you can fill in the blank. I don't want to be too political, but I could fill in a lot of individuals that are in government. I'd say, God, why are you allowing them to even live and be there? And some of these things are so embarrassing to me, to see that our nation ignores it as if we don't all see what's going on. But yet we need to remember that God gave us a system of law in this nation, and God gave us founders who had vision, and we're a republic, and the system was that we would vote, and there would be a leader raised up as a president. And do I need to tell you that a lot of Christians have not been voting? And don't get mad at me, but it's my opinion. It's not God's. It's my opinion that if you didn't vote, you don't have a right to complain. That's just my opinion, so you get upset at me, but sometimes we complain over things when we could have at least said something, done something, been somewhere. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to have respect for the offices that God has allowed our nation to have. We have had godly leaders. We have had despicable leaders. And so, in my personal opinion, we're at a very low point right now in our government where our leadership is. But I still need to have respect for the office of the president, and I need to have respect for the system that God has blessed us with for all of these years. And I do. And I look at David, and David said, "I got the Lord knows I shouldn't have done it." And he said to his men, "It is a serious thing to attack the Lord's anointed one." And you know, the King James, some other translations say it a little differently, but it basically says the same thing, that we should not lay our hands on the anointing as if God has not had a part in that. We should not disregard those who rule over us. We should take responsibility. We have freedoms in our nation, and we can do that. But we should not curse the office, and we should pray for the man or the woman that's in there, because we are in some level responsible for who serves over us, at least in this nation. And David is actually... he's actually saying this about someone who's trying to take his life. And David refuses. David refuses to touch him. So David sharply rebuked his men and did not let them kill Saul. And I believe today, even in this prophetic time, I see what's happening in Israel. I understand a little bit of that. I believe that we are conscious of the day that we live in. These are days of decline in the nations, but Israel, God is going to take care of His people. But Israel is, they're kind of like the calendar we need to be looking at. You look at the calendar, you look at the trees, and you see them budding, and you have to say, according to the Word of God, we are at the point of the tribulation, the rapture and the tribulation. I believe we're there. I believe that we need to be talking about the rapture and the times that we live in, and recognize that these are times to get right with God. This is time to be saved. It's time to know who your God is and to not be quiet about that. I agree with that. But even in the midst of all of that and the prophetic time clock, I still believe we need to be burdened and pray for those who rule over us, because God gave us these offices. And God is merciful. And God allows people to stay in places of authority much longer than I would.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? What can cleanse me from within? Nothing but the blood. For my part in this I see, for my cleansing this my plea. Draw my wandering heart to Thee. Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow.